Praise God. Sister Wood, would you testify tonight? We appreciate you. And Sister Whitney, I'll tell you what, she works with Sister Crosswhite, and I'm telling you, Sister Whitney, you have stolen Sister Crosswhite's heart. She loves you. She talks about you in a good way. Amen. Don't you like when somebody talks about you in a right way? Amen. Would you testify, encourage? Praise God. And we say this, I want you to understand. She just lost her 16-year-old brother to cancer. We were at the funeral. What a tremendous testimony. Amen. Of that life of Alex and the influence of so many people that came there that heard the truth. The anointing of God was so strong in that funeral. And God anointed Brother Bullard, the pastor there. And I'm telling you, it was like, boom, a light turned on. But it was there the whole service. But whenever the truth, amen, was expounded on, amen, I watched people that obviously did not know the truth, amen, get a taste of truth that day. Amen. Praise God. We're so thankful for the word of the Lord. Amen. Brother and Sister Holt, they had great things happen for them this weekend. Brother Holt, would you stand and testify, lead off? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Holt, tell us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there somebody else tonight that God has done something for you that you feel burning in you that you just got to share it? Amen. Tim? Praise God. Thank the Lord for healing Tim. Praise God. Amen. He called me today so excited what God's done. Says Cross White. Amen. Two doctors in 1 week said the same thing. You don't have to come back no more. You don't have rheumatism or arthritis. And you don't have a heart problem. Amen. I'm thankful that God is the great physician. My. Anybody else you want to give God praise for the board? God's on time. On time. Sister. Amen. I tell you, God's doing a mighty work. Amen. Everywhere pastors I've talked to this week are saying the same thing. Something is happening in the spirit world. Amen. At the same time, anytime that there is a flow of the Holy Ghost and you start seeing people, there's also a shaking. And there are people that have been around church, in church, that know the mechanics of church that are somehow or another drifting off at the same time. Amen. There are brand new people walking in saying, I want this. Even people that have searched for this all their lives. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Anybody else want to give God praise? You got something that you just got to, amen, praise God for. Amen. Anybody else before we go to the Word? Amen. Well, I feel, go ahead, Sister Lynn. Stand up, baby. Amen. Praising God. Sunday night, Charlie was right over here. Yo, most of you was here. You seen that. And this boy, we picked up on the bus since he was just a little bitty boy. But the Spirit of God was moving Sunday night. And I love it when the Holy Ghost can move, where you don't have to have one of those services where the drum is just going real fast and everybody's hopping around. Amen. I love it when it's just a song that is not so, amen, where people just dancing to the beat, or people just swooed to the beat, amen, but something is percolating with the message and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody took off running. Amen. And next thing I know, Charlie took off running. Amen. And at that end of that service, when the Holy Ghost got to ministering, amen, that boy was back there. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was ministering to him, the power of God all over him. Amen. He's getting a Bible study. I think somebody's teaching him and his girlfriend and somebody else a Bible study. I'm thankful that he could quote his Sister Becky from that Sunday school class. He knows the oneness of God. He knows the scriptures about Jesus' name baptism. Amen. And he disappeared for a little bit. Amen. But I'm thankful for what God is doing. God is rebounding. The Word of God, amen, has a way of springing up. Amen, at an unexpected time. Amen. He's 17, 18 years old now, and God is doing something in his life, and I'm thankful for it. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Hallelujah. My. Amen. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. You know, God wants to love us tonight. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands, and I want you to thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, the way you're doing it, Lord God. We praise you, and we worship you. We thank you, God, for working. And Lord, helping us in this hour, connecting us, Lord, by your power and your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You have your Bible. Please turn with me to Isaiah 51. Amen. This morning, early in the morning, reading my Bible, the Lord began to speak to me. And I love it whenever you don't have time enough to scribble scratch, to write hardly. The faster you write, the more God gives. Amen. And I love it when God confirms. Amen. And he begins to show and unfold. I mean, it's like God is unrolling the carpet before you every step you take. And that's the way God does it for me many times. And I know it's not me. I know it's the Holy Ghost at work, the power of the Word. Isaiah 51 verses 7 and 8 will be the passage that we're going to read today. And how wonderful it is whenever these things unfold. Isaiah 51, the prophet Isaiah is being used of the Lord. And the Lord is speaking through him. He said, "Hearken," or "listen unto me, ye that know righteous." Ye that know righteousness. Basically, righteousness is doing what's right, but having more than the knowledge to do what's right and doing what's right. It's when the emphasis of God is involved. The Bible says our righteousness, our self-righteousness, is as filthy rags. But the righteousness of God, when you start doing right, and the anointing of God, the emphasis of God, the power of God gets involved with it. That's the righteousness of God. So when he's talking about the righteous, he said, "Hearken to me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law." When you love God's law, you delight in God's law, God's word. Amen. There's something about it. Here, he's saying, here people are like this. "Fear ye not the reproach of men." Don't be afraid of the reproach of men. "Neither be ye afraid of their revelings," revilings, or maybe. "For the moth shall eat them up as a garment." The moth's going to eat them up. "And the worm shall eat them like wool." And he's using some analogies here, like a garment being eaten up by moth and a worm eating the wool up. But he says, "But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." Are you thankful that what God does, amen, is forever, eternal, absolute? God exists forever. And there's a continuance, there's an existence that goes beyond us. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that I'm anchored in something eternal. I'm thankful that I have my anchorage and my life, amen, vested in something that is absolute, not wishy-washy, something that is eternal. That's what we call the righteousness of God, is when you are in God and God is in you. Are you thankful for that oneness that happens when you just let God be God? Amen. Oh, put your Bible down right now. Amen. Would you lift your hands to that one true mighty God? Amen. Would you love him back for what he's doing in your life? Thank you, Lord. I love and I praise you, God of heaven, earth, and sea, and all that dwelleth therein. You're beautiful and holy. I love and I thank you tonight, God. I worship you. Thank you for that fresh anointing today, God. That fresh emphasis of your spirit in my life. That fresh operation of your holiness and righteousness, and Lord, that is working in me. I love and I praise you, Lord. I love you. And I thank you tonight for victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Scriptures here, Isaiah's talking about. He's talking about the constancy. He said, hey, don't be afraid of these voices, these people that come against you. Amen. We're living an hour, there's voices, distractions, and things that are coming against us from every angle. But he said, hang on. They're going to be like a moth. They're going to be eaten up. They're going to be like the wool that is eaten by the worm, or like a garment that's eaten by the moth and the wool eaten by the worm. He said, but however, my people, my righteousness, what I have in you shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation, from generation to generation. I want you to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, as well with me. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Very beautiful passage of scripture. And Jesus is making a challenge here in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And the Lord wants to speak to us and encourage us tonight. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Don't put your treasures here, or don't set your affections here. Next verse. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. They can't get this. It's more than having a safe. Brother Zach and I today was in town, and there was an ATM machine that we got to notice, and they're making ATM machines, apparently they were trying to fix it where somebody can't get a chain and lasso it and tie it to their bumper and take off with it. They're trying to make it more secure, but I want to tell you, every safe and every lock can be picked. And everything like that can be hacked, even accounts. And there are good thieves that know how to break in. And you ever heard the statement that when you lock a door, is to keep somebody honest. If a thief wants in, he can get in. And the thief wants in your life. But the greatest lock source that you can ever have and security force that you can ever have is the power of the Almighty God. Lay up for yourself treasures. The treasures of this world, believe me, when a person thinks, man, look what I got, they turn around and the moth has eaten it up. The rust has corrupted it. And you look at it. The thieves break in. You open that safe and everything you put in it is gone. And you think, well, I could trust this person. We knew people that here in Nacogdoches that invested money with somebody that was an investor. And a little bit later, they found out that this person had taken their monies that they were supposedly using to invest and completely even took their money and stole it. And that has happened. Even in systems, banking, and industries today, there's professionals that know how to break in and steal and know how to take from you. I mean, we have to watch our credit card accounts, our bank account constantly, because there are people that we call that are scammers and hackers and people that want to come in and steal. I'm thankful tonight that I have a security, amen, that is eternal, amen, that the thief cannot touch. Hallelujah. And that's where I want to put my treasure. That's where I want to put my investment. I want to invest in something that's going to outlive me. I want to invest in something that's going to keep me. I want to invest in something that's going to help me. I want to invest in something that is constant and absolute. Somebody say amen. He's telling, he said, don't hoard up treasures here. There's a lot of people work hard to have things, but it does them no good. Being rich and having things won't do you a bit of good if you're not ready to meet God. What good is it having all this when you're breathing your last breath if you don't have the peace of God and the righteousness of God? Amen. I'm thankful for the treasure of treasures in my life. God is absolute. Now, when we talked about the word absolute, absolute means that God cannot diminish, God can't decrease, and God doesn't decline. The stock market is up and down. All the different things of investments. They talk about the Bitcoin. They talk about all gold. Somebody said you need to invest with silver. Somebody says you need to invest with solids such as land, gold, oil, energies. Well, energy is not solid today. Energy has become solar. I mean, all these different things where people say, oh, you need to get aboard of this platform. You need to get aboard of this. And, oh, you know, but I want to just tell you, all these commodities diminish, decrease, and decline and can be swindled away. But there's something I want you to understand. Amen. When you anchor in the absolute of God, amen, there's something beautiful about it because God will keep you through the life storm. God will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but God will lead you through things that you couldn't get through on your own. Are you thankful that God will never leave you nor forsake you? God won't melt away and diminish. Amen. Hebrews. Hebrews, the second chapter now. Chapter 2, and verses 1, 2, and 3. The scripture says here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed or attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. God through the ages, if somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do, they were going to get a just reward. And those that did what they were supposed to do, God blessed them. God is going to be just, in other words. In the next verse, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How are you going to escape if you neglect this? You overlook this. How shall you escape, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape? It is crucial that we keep a firm grip on the things that God has revealed to us, that we don't drift off. Many times we think we let them slip. No, you let you slip. You let yourself drift. And this old message delivered by angels is still valid and still true. Are you thankful today for the power of the Word of God? Amen. It's still relevant for this hour. Amen. It's still true. It's still faithful. And it's still absolute. Son of God, I just want to encourage you. Amen. Oh, you need an anchor in the absolute and keep your anchor. Don't let it slip. Amen. Get a bulldog grip on the things of God and get a hold. Delight in God. Delight in the absolute. Psalm, the first chapter, the blessed man delighted in the law of the Lord. And in Isaiah, we talked about those that delight in God. How wonderful it is whenever you delight in God. God becomes your passion. His word, his law becomes the very thing that you invest your life in, your focus in. Your appetite is increased in loving and learning more about God. There is a zeal developed inside of you, an earnest desire, amen, that you seek God. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful today that you can't exhaust the things of God. Amen. The blessings of God cannot diminish. There is a joy in God that God wants to increase in your life. God wants to grow that in your life. Amen. There's something absolute when you anchor in the Almighty God. When your life is anchored. I want you to think about our petty world today. Petty world. There's people that are worried about petty things today. Pettiness is built on a shaky foundation. There's a lot of pettiness. And I worry, well, you know, if you don't have this right here, then you don't fit in life. If you don't have this great thing right here, then you don't, I mean, you're not going to make it. You've got to be up here with the status quo. You've got to be up here with everybody else. But I'm joyfully, amen, a living proof, amen, that when you have your anchor in Jesus Christ and you're so thankful that you're not, amen, overcome by the pettiness of our world's demands and the status quo and what the world expects, but you're in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. You may not fit in with anything else, but there's a fit for you in the things of God. Amen. Your old life may not fit with the crowd. You may not fit with those that you run with or don't run with, but you fit in the plan of God. I'm telling somebody today, you may be odd, and you may be one that says, amen, I don't have it. I don't have the personality. I don't have the ways, but you have what God wants. He wants your soul, your life. He wants your living for him. He wants your joy. He wants you to live for him. Praise God. But if we neglect it, we neglect so great salvation, how should we escape if we throw away the anchor of the absolute? So we're in this old petty world. I look at the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I look at the fulfillment versus this word. You could fill your life with a lot of things, a lot of junk. You could fill. The rich man in our society is the man who has the biggest pile of things, the biggest amounts of things for his money, prestige, authority. We measure by the biggest and the greatest in America and in our world today, not just America. The person with the biggest,
Amen. The nicest and the biggest toy is the dude with the biggest strut in it. Amen. But I want to just tell somebody today, in the kingdom of God, amen, you can have all those things and not be fulfilled. But in God, there is fulfillment. The kingdom of God, there's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. There's a fulfillment. I got more than just filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that when I get full of God, there is a fulfillment that is administered in my soul. Amen. I don't have to have the things of the world. Well, I've eaten before and sat down, and the other day we ate somewhere. I can't remember where it's at. But we sat down to eat, and it was a great meal. But when I got done, I got a little bit later, and it's like, I wasn't fulfilled. Now, Cheerios, I mean, you eat your Cheerios and your milk, and you eat about three bowls, like, you know, some of these boys. I mean, you may get full, but they just don't fulfill you. In fact, Cheerios to some of these kids right here are bland. I mean, and they don't want that. They'd rather have, I mean, Fruity Pebbles. They'd rather have these other stuff, you know. Coley would rather have the chocolate cocoa pebbles, wouldn't you? No? I thought you cocoa. I mean, I thought, you know, no. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of people that begin to, they think, oh, well, I got to have all this, and it doesn't fulfill them. It's like eating a meal that, oh, you get full. You get full of the world, it doesn't fulfill your soul. But isn't it beautiful when you get full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. There is a fulfillment. God will satisfy. God will do more than gratify. God will give you a completion. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a cleansing that happens, and there's a fulfillment. When you come to the well of life, God not only quenches your thirst, but God will hydrate yourself in His Spirit. There's a fulfillment. But at the well of God, you're also, there's a cleansing. There's a wealth. You know, back in the Bible days, and even some places today, even here in Texas, water is a valuable resource. In the Bible days, when you had a water source such as a well, you was a wealthy man. Abraham was a well digger. The wealthy man was one that knew how to tap in. And the saint of God today that knows how to tap into the well of the Holy Ghost, amen, is a wealthy person. Amen. Brother and sister, you may not have, amen, $10, amen, in your bank account right now, but if you know how to tap in and tap into the flow of the Holy Ghost, amen, and know how to touch God and be sensitive to God, you are a valuable and a wealthy person. It's the person that don't know how to touch God. It's the person that when they go to pray, every distraction in the world gets them. You know, they got to be entertained. The preacher has to stand on his head and break dance to get your attention. The choir has to get up here and shake their hineys and do all this to get people's attention. Amen. Oh, friend, we don't have to have that. Amen. God is not looking to entertain His church, but God is looking for somebody that will tap in, somebody that will love Him, somebody that know how to break through with the Holy Ghost. Woo, hallelujah. You give me somebody that knows how to pray, somebody that knows how to get in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You have somebody in your life that is an absolute treasure. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Now I want to go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, where it talks about the wise man and the foolish man. Amen. They all built. They all invested. But the wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the stand, on the sand. And, you know, I want you to think about it. We think about the rock and the house on the rock, but everything, the rock and what was built on it, stood the storm. And I want you to get the picture. Everything on the sand and the sand washed away with the storm. The storm. Sand will constantly move. You go to the beach or you go to the river and you watch the waves, and that sand will just wash back in, back and forth, wash to and fro. And everything on the sand and the sand washed away. But everything on the rock and the rock itself stood the storm. Both of them had the same storm visit them. But the one on the rock amen, was the one that stood and maintained. Isn't it amazing when you build your life on the solid principles of righteousness with the Almighty God? Amen. There is a sense of wisdom. My question today, are you a wise builder or are you a foolish builder? Amen. What are you building your life on? If you're building on things that are temporal, amen, that are wishy-washy, you're going to be a washout. Amen. You're going to be a has-been. But when you build on the principles of righteousness, you become a wise man. Amen. The storm cannot pull you away. Amen. Because you're built on something that will stand. I thank God for the rock of ages. How about you? I thank God for the truth of the absolute of God. The foolish man's sand foundation and building was wiped away, swept away. All was gone. Things of God is so precious because this is real. You know, we're dealing in an hour where people doubt the realness of the Almighty God. They doubt it. But isn't it amazing that little Diane Crosswhite back there, has been in a storm for a couple of years with heart situations. Do you know when my dad, 21 years ago, died with a heart attack, she was in the hospital having heart problems. She couldn't even go to her husband's funeral. We were there. It was a dilemma. Everything in her world was way back then, one thing. And my dad took care of my mama very much, very much. I mean, he helped my mama and stuff, but through it all, mama's life had been anchored on the rock. And all these years of suffering and going back and forth. In fact, the reason why I moved my mama to Nacogdoches, because I kept running back and forth because she had a heart condition that every time it seemed like it would terrify her in the middle of the night or during the daytime. And she lived right across the street from the church and everybody's kin there. But, you know, that's not their mama. That was my mama. So I finally went over there and I said, Mama, you're packing your stuff and you're coming home with me. That's been 4 years ago. And she's been to the doctors. Amen. Even Dr. Garcia, the one with arthritis doctor. This week you heard her testimony. Dr. Percozzi said, Ms. Crosswhite, you don't have a heart condition. Dr. Garcia said, you don't have to come back here no more. I'm thankful that it's evident when you build your life on the rock. The God of the rock will stand for you. When everything else is bowing. Amen. Isn't it beautiful to have peace of mind tonight, Mama? Amen. Isn't it beautiful to have the peace, the Prince of Peace in your mind, in your life, to testify? Amen. I guarantee you, you've already talked to that son, that youngest boy of yours overseas, and said, Brian, let me tell you what Jesus done. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that for that testimony tonight. Amen. That God is at work in our lives. Amen. Oh, friend, this is real. I don't know about you. I don't have to argue about it. Amen. I don't have to debate about it. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for the realness of God. God proved himself. And so sometimes, Sister Whitney, it takes a storm to prove to other people that God is really God. Amen. And here is Alex going through that storm ever since he was just a little young man. But he was a Bible quizzer. He had preached the gospel. Amen. He lived his testimony. And in the storm of life, somebody said, oh, amen, it took him. No. The storm of life didn't take him. Amen. But, oh, he graduated in his faith to a higher place, to a reward. Amen. Oh, you're thankful. Man awards, but God rewards the life. Amen. How beautiful it is to watch the operation of the Almighty God. The whole proof and the evidence now is what God has done in the midst of that storm. Amen. Because that life stood in God. God stands for that life. Amen. Oh, if God be for you. Amen. Somebody ought to say, who can be against you? Amen. I want to tell you, who can be against you when you have the Almighty God on your side tonight? You want to give the Lord a praise. You know, when the Lord was talking about the parable of the sower in the book of Mark, I can remember memorizing the book of Mark in Bible quizzing, and it talks in the book of Mark, in verse 19, it says, that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The seed fell among weeds and thorns. As a result, they got offended at the word. When the word tried to work and grow in their life, they got offended. It was taking control of them, so they got offended. Oh, they loved when Jesus healed their babies and Jesus healed their lame, but when Jesus started telling them, you need to repent, you need to take up your cross and follow me, they got offended. When Jesus said, sell out everything you got, give to the poor, they got offended. They went away sorrowful. Amen. They got offended because the word was not received with gladness. Amen. Hear me. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entered in and choked the word, and it became unfruitful. That ought to bug you. When you let the world's worries, cares, distractions begin to upset you, that you don't trust the Almighty God. The seed was cast in the weeds, and it represented those who heard, became overwhelmed with the displacement. You know, God's trying to say, yield yourself. Come on, trust me. But they held on to things around them. They got offended when God said, come on, let go of that. Get a hold of me. The stress strangles people today because they just don't want to let go of their stubbornness. I want to tell you, the things of this world will not fix the world's problems. More money is not going to fix your problem. More gold and more property is not going to fix your problem. But I want to tell you, more Jesus will. Amen. More of the absolute, more of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Getting full of God. Hallelujah. Investing your soul in the things of righteousness. Every day you need to invest in God. Amen. Oh, the winning value versus the losing elements. The winning value of living for God, Brother Will, versus the losing elements of this world. Amen. Everybody was saying, oh, you got to have this. You got to have that. Oh, look at you. You need plastic surgery. You need a wig, Brother Crossway. You need a hair transplant. Oh, you need this. You look like a better man. Oh, you need this and you need that. No, friend. Amen. I need Jesus Christ. I need the absolute power of the Almighty God. And it comes more than a salvation experience. You hear me tackle this all the time because I hate what the mindset of modern Pentecost is doing to people, to where they think all you have to do is speak in tongues and you're okay. Tongues is not the thermometer that you're okay with God. Because the scripture says, though you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love of God, what good is it? You better have more than a little tongue talking. You better have some holy walking with God. You better have some oneness with the Almighty God. You better be one with the Almighty God. It's not a shame to be one with God. It's not hard to get one with God. Only thing you got to do is like the old people of years ago that used to have the radio. Amen. And that old radio station, an AM station, they would listen to it and they would tune that knob very carefully to catch that station. And when they got it, one man said he took the knob off so nobody could mess with the station. I want to tell somebody today, we need to tap in, tune in, and let God. Amen. Oh, don't be distracted by this world. Don't be distracted by the mindset of those around you. Live for God. Recognize what God's doing for you. Oneness with God. You know, and there's a deeper than just complying to the word of the Lord. You know, compliance is great when you have obedience, when you obey God. There's some people who say, well, I obey God. Well, amen. God wants you to surrender, yes. God wants you to obey. But it's more than checking off things. God wants you to walk with him. God wants you to have some harmony and some oneness with him. And it's amazing when you fear God, you respect and love God, and you start loving God back. God is not our genie in the bottle. We talked about that the other day. God is not our master, or we're the master. God is not our servant. That we say, okay, do this. God is not our, well, we command God with our life. I want to just say this. I love it when I walk and I talk with God as my friend. He's a friend that will stick closer than a brother. He's one, that blessed friend. And the scripture says in Psalm 33, verse 12, I had to look it up today. I knew it was in the book of Psalm, but I didn't know where. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people whom he had chosen for his inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm thankful today that I know who my God is. And my God is more than the master of the universe. Amen. He's my Lord. I'm going to ask the question today. Is God your Lord? Have you surrendered to the Lordship of God? If he's not Lord of all, he cannot Lord at all. And the problem that we have is the struggle of giving God Lordship. We like to be in control. That's the problem of the seed while ago. Amongst the weeds, the thorns grew up, the offensive came, because it simply would not yield itself and give itself and let go of some surrounding things, some elements around them. It would not let go. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You got to get invested in the Lordship of God. And let me just say this. I love it whenever I have something go wrong. The other day, we had some things happen at the house. We had an outdoor PVC pipe that was leaking, and I tried to fix it some time ago, and my wife discovered it during the drought. It was still leaking. And the other day, I said, Lord, you got a problem. I don't have long to fix this. It's supposed to get dark. When we discovered it, I had just a little window of time to run to go get the primer and the glue from Lowe's. And I come back, and I had already dug the hole, and I looked, and I found the leak, found what I needed, took a picture of it, thank God for my phone. And I get to Lowe's, and I asked God when I was walking in, God, lead me to the right stuff. I got the right stuff. I was out back at the house, and as I was gluing that, I put it all together, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to let this sit and dry. I'm going to give it a little time. And we waited for a little time. When we come back, it was dark. I turned the light on, and I turned the water on. And I mean, it hell, talk about a joy. I tell my wife, tomorrow morning, we're going to look at it and see if it's leaked in the middle of the night. Man, no problem. It kept going. It's held, and it's still holding on. Amen. But I want to just tell you something like that. I said, God, you've got a problem. This house belongs to you. We got a problem here, Lord Jesus. I'm glad that in my life, I've given everything to God. When it belongs to God, God's going to take care of it. But when you got your greedy hands on things and you want it your way, so God, help, we got a problem, we got a dilemma. Amen. I don't think I have to say 911, God. I'm glad tonight I can say, Lord, you're close as the mention of your name. We got a need. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good to us? Ecclesiastes, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Then Hebrews, the 11th chapter, faith is the substance of what? The evidence. Unseen things become the evidence. Who in the right mind will invest in unseen, invisible, intangible things? There are people that will invest in all kinds of things, commodities in this world. But we have our investment in the invisible, the intangible, the things that you can't just put your hands on. But I'm glad that what I can't put my hands on, God has it in his hand. And the First Timothy says this, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Think about it. It's intangible. It's invisible. It's incomprehensible. It's incorruptible, but incomparable. It means it can't be compared. You can't compare God to anything. And how wonderful to serve a God and invest in something that is beyond what we feel, what we can weigh out and measure. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of God. The arm of the Lord is not short. The eye of the Lord is not dim. The ear of the Lord is not heavy. My God is God enough to answer your prayer, and your prayer at the same time tonight, and still answer the prayer of that missionary, amen, in Brazil right now, to answer that one that is on their face before the throne. Amen. The scripture says, amen, we read it a while ago, lay not up for your treasures upon the earth, where the moth and the rust doth corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, nor thieves break in and steal. But where your treasure is, there is your heart also. An investment. An investment beyond this world in a kingdom that is not made with hands. the undeniable work of God happens. We wash in his blood, filled with the Holy Ghost. In the book of Hebrews, in conclusion, Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 17, 18, and 19. Sister Nina is going to put that up there for me. Hebrews 6, 17, 18, and 19. Two unchanging things of God is his promise, his oath, his promise and his oath. What he has given to you and what he's promised to you will never change. God won't change. God won't ever change, and his word will never change. You see, God never contradicts his own word. You can't take and separate God from his word. Okay? Hebrews 6, 17. Wherein God, willing more to abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchanging power of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, assurance. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19 is where I want to get. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that which in the veil, to the Holy of Holies. I want you to think about that eternal anchor. An anchor, a root. We're rooted into the eternal. And I want that anchor in my life to be in the absolute. Anchored in the absolute. Finally, there was a woman who was a harlot. Think with me. She lived in Jericho. And the spies came in to spy out Jericho. And they came to her house, and the people of Jericho heard about these spies. And they came to Rahab's house, and she hid them. And as a result, they gave her the assurance that this city's going to fall. But if you get everybody in your house, and if you let down that scarlet cord that you saved us by, everybody that is in the house with the cord, the line, that's hanging from the window, that a scarlet cord will be saved. She gathers her family in. All her family and her friends are in her house. There's a scarlet cord hanging from the window. When the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, seventh time they marched around, the walls fell flat, except for the place where her house dwelt. Stayed because she was attached to a lifeline of obedience more than compliance, and she got all her house, whoever she wanted to be saved. There was another harlot in the Bible that did a similar thing. She met a man at the well, and Jesus began to tell her about the power of living waters. She went back to the city and brought to the feet of Jesus the city. And as a result, men, the well began to flow in their lives. People of Samaria. You think about Moses. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, trained in the speech of Pharaoh, the wisdom of Pharaoh, to be the next leader. The Bible says Moses forsook Egypt, not wanting the things of that kingdom. There was something invisible. Every one of these found. From Rahab, woman at the well, Moses. That invisible realm of faith that we find. Where Moses said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He esteemed the reproach and the things he had to go through greater than all the treasures of Egypt. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Let me say this, the anchor line of hope today, when you anchor in the absolute, that anchor outside of a ship when it's storming, and the waters are choppy, boiling waters of the storm. I can't see it working. But long as I keep the line attached to the ship, even though I can't see the anchor working, That anchor is going to keep me in the storm as long as I keep the grip on the anchor. Jesus Christ, your hold to him matters. Be anchored in the absolute tonight. Stand. Young lady in this room, young man in this room, saint in this room, whoever you are, we're living in a stormy hour. The sweeping tides want to wash away the foundation and everything you built your life on. I pray tonight that you won't take my word, but you'll get the word and be the wise man instead of the foolish person. Build your life on the eternal rock. Because Brother Colton, after the storm, not only did the rock stand, but everything on the rock stood. On the other end of the spectrum, those on the sand washed out. Storm took it. Everything built on that sand was gone. I'm glad I have something solid tonight. Old song we used to sing, I've anchored in Jesus. Amen. I don't have to fear the storm or the waves. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Amen. What about your anchor? Where you're putting your anchor at in life. Where are you building your life? Is it on foolish things? Are you being wise? Even to put your life in the hands of an eternal God who's immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's lift our hands to Jesus. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the evidence of the tug of the Almighty God right now, the proof. Amen. Somebody needs to feel evidence tonight of the realness of God. Lift your hands and just say, God, I need you. I love you and I look to you, Lord. You're the author, the finisher, the maker of my faith. I love and I trust you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you reach your hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Well, reach up to him. Love him back. Watch what he does when you start giving him that affection and attention. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your grace and power. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you step out of your chair just for a moment? Amen. Come to the front and lift your hands with us tonight and say, God, I love you and I thank you for being here for me tonight. Thank you for the proof of the evidence of your presence and your spirit. Hallelujah. You're good to me, Jesus.
You are good.
Lift your heart to the Lord, saint. Go ahead.
You are good. Mercy is forever.
Good. Hallelujah.
You are good.
Hallelujah. Saint, lift your hands. Go ahead.
You are good.
Talk to him. Tell him. God, you're amazing.
You are good.
You're amazing the way you come through.
Your mercy is forever.
You're amazing the way you answer.
You are good.
Talk to the Father tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh,
he's a friend. He's a, you ought to thank the Lord tonight. Amen. You're on the winning side. You're not on the losing side. With God, you're a winner. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you tonight for the eternal power. The absolutes. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to keep me, Lord, through the storm. You're going to help me through the storm. You're going to bless me, Lord, through the problems of life.
You are good. Your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your kindness is forever.
Your kindness is forever, Jesus.
Your goodness is forever.
Forever, forever.
Your mercy is forever. Is forever. Your mercy is forever.
A little
forever.
A little. You believe him right now when you pray.
You are good.
And you're thankful for the goodness of the Lord. The last challenge that I want to just bring to your attention is faith. Faith really takes hold when if you don't feel God, you can't see what God's doing, you don't know how it's going to come about. You just say, this is God's department, not mine. Think about the man of God when the world says, give me proof and give me evidence that your God is real. And I get all in the dilemma to try to get all the evidence and the proof. That's not my department. On the Mount Carmel, the man of God said, the God that answers by fire. And the man of God didn't make it rain fire, but he just prayed to the God who could. And he said, go and get all this water, fill up these trenches, make it impossible in the eyes of these people. Guess what happened when he prayed? The fire from heaven fell down and licked up the water, ignited the sacrifice. When your sacrifice feels cold, dead, and just laying there, it's still on the altar before the Almighty God, who's able to let it rain down with fire. Amen. And give you the evidence in the eyes of so many different people at the right time. So instead of you fretting, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God, whatever your name is? I'll tell you where it's at. Amen. It's in my faith that my God's never failed, never forsaken me. He's a God that lives forever. Well, I don't feel God. Somebody's asking you to pray for them. I don't feel God. And I'm looking at this person shivering all over with fever and chills. And they're saying, pray for me. And I don't feel a lick of God. Guess what I do? I pray. I just don't pray for the person, oh Lord, touch the chills and the fever. But I pray, Lord, you know what's causing this. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, I don't have to feel God to pray. I don't have to have the thunder in heaven for me to pray. I have the God of heaven that I talk to when I pray. Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight for his power. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. So I pray that I encourage you tonight. Amen. I pray that this message was something that has challenged your faith. Amen. And jabbed you deep inside of you that says, wow, I'm going to keep on going forward in God, even though I can't see it, can't feel it, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Our guest, Brother and Sister Woods, Sister Whitney, so glad to have you tonight. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're making boudin right here in the third building. We're getting ready for the county fair. Tuesday, we'll be making gumbo. Amen. If you want to help us, amen, cut sausage up, get gumbo made, make roux, whatever. Amen. Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning at 10, we'll start making boudin. I will be grinding up some roast. I've got about 11 roasts that are thawed out in the refrigerator. We're going to put and get them cooking overnight. They'll be ready when you walk in. They'll be smelling just right. Amen. If you come tomorrow, those of you that can come and help me make boudin, I promise you we'll have something good to eat. Amen. You might even get a sample of this boudin. Amen. If you never liked it, amen, you may leave with a good, amen, change of heart. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Let's grow to heaven, how?
Together.
Amen. Shake hands with at least five people and tell them, I have a God.
Amen.